Be in the book of John, the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 11. That's good singing. About believing Him more, even though you don't understand His will.
Yes, sir.
You know, God never told us to understand Him. He told us to believe Him.
Right.
Now, I understand that you want to try to get to know Him and understand how He works and stuff, but so much Christianity has become in trying to understand Him.
Right.
And you're not going to, I mean, we're talking about an infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful. You're not going to understand Him.
Right.
But everything, something everybody in here can do is we can believe Him.
Amen.
Even a child can do that.
Yes, sir.
And that's how God's put this thing. So that a little child to an elderly person with all the problems and things in between, we can still believe Him.
Amen.
Or trust in Him.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the problem, isn't it?
That's it.
And here's the other problem. Lean not to thine own understanding. That one gets me.
Yeah, me too.
Because for some reason I think my understanding has some value. But if you'll lean not to Him, or your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll direct that path. And I think that's what we're looking for. Look at John chapter 11 here with me. I want to grab another question. And what I mean by that is when we've had opportunity to preach, every once in a while we'll grab one of these questions that Jesus asked His disciples. And the Lord asked a lot of questions in the New Testament, and He'd asked some questions of His foes, some even of just His friends, but I found in there He asked some questions to just His disciples, and I think they're a way that He's trying to draw information out from them. In a sense, it's an interrogation by the Lord, not so He could get some information so that they could understand some information or see themselves. But I think they're questions that Christ still wants His disciples to consider and contemplate today. But look at John chapter 11. Let's start reading verse number 17. Just, we know this is the sickness and death of Lazarus. But look at 17 here, John 11, 17. Then when Jesus came, He found that He had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. I think that's about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Here's the question. You see it right here? Believest thou what? She saith unto Him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, I'm just going to, we got to get into this for time's sake this morning. I'll just kind of unpack this, if you will, this morning and go through this this passage here. Now, the first thing I find in our text is the coming in verse 17 through 20. Number one, the coming here. And verse 17 starts off, it says, then when Jesus came, when He came. So we see this, we understand this story. I hope there's some background in our minds about this morning. We see the delay here because, you know, they wanted Him to come sooner, right? Wouldn't you? As soon as He was sick, right? Man, Lord, come right away. Why did you wait until He... 4 days, you know, but we see right away here that delay in verse 6, because He didn't come right away back in verse number 6, He didn't come right away. Delay is not deafness with God. Just because you ask something of God and it doesn't happen right away, does not mean it's not deafness. It doesn't mean He didn't hear you. I believe He hears everything that He wants to hear. I think sometimes He shuts me off. You ever do that with your kids? But I mean, when it's something like this out of the heart, I'm pretty sure He hears that. So delay with God is not deafness, and delay with God is not denial. We often think we ask something to God, and here we are 2-3 years later, and we think, well, He's just denied that. No, that's not always the case. Eventually, Christ will come. He may not come how we want Him to or how we would like Him to, but eventually He will come, maybe when the conditions and the circumstances are right. But notice, all human hope was gone in this situation. All human help was gone in this situation when He finally did come. And verse 19 tells us that Martha and Mary's Jewish friends, all they could do when they came was comfort them concerning their brother in verse number 19. And that word comfort there means they could console them. They could, you know, encourage them in this trial they were in. They could only relate to what these dear sisters were going through, but they could not resurrect. They couldn't restore anything. And I just want to say, listen, the comfort of man pales in comparison to the comfort of the Master. The coming of man into a situation pales in comparison to the coming of the Master into a situation. I'm talking about Christ finally came here, and the coming here, there's no coming like the coming of Christ. Amen? That's why in verse 20 it says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him, but Mary sat still in the house. Now, no doubt we see the temperament of these two sisters coming out, swamped Martha and sitting Mary, and there's been multitudes of preaching on that, but I'm going to take up Martha's side tonight, or today. Is that all right with everybody?
Sure.
I dare say that Martha here appears to have the most advantage here. For though they both said the same thing to the Master, verse 21, and if you go down and read verse 32, Mary says the exact same thing that Martha said, only Martha got to hear the Lord's glorious declaration in verse 25, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall he live. She got to hear that. Now, there's a lesson here for us all. There is a time to stir as well as a time to sit. Amen. I understand the preaching on Mary sitting before Jesus and Martha's cumbered about with much serving. And we do Martha wrong there. But, man, we're getting to the day and age where we could use some more Marthas.
Yeah.
You know, we sit all the time and think we're spiritual.
You're right, brother. That's right.
I mean, we need to probably jerk that back the other direction, amen. But there's a time to stir as well as sit, amen. Especially when we hear the Lord's coming. He's coming.
Yes.
It's not a time to just sit on your tail. It's a time to stir. I mean, we're seeing the day approaching, amen. He's a coming. Things ain't getting any better. They're getting worse, amen. If we're going to get anything done in the time that we have left before His coming, we better stir. We better get busy and get rolling, get doing some things in here, amen, and out there and everywhere we need to. I'm just saying, Lord's coming. Lord's coming. And did I tell you what I'm going to talk about today? I'm going to talk about specific faith this morning. He said, believest thou this. This. Specific faith. If you had specific faith in the coming of Christ, you'd stir.
Right. Yes.
But I see everybody sitting nowadays, amen, just kind of meandering along, and I think we're losing that specific faith in the coming of Christ. Well, we've been saying that for years. Amen. Let them say whatever they want to say. He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming. When's He coming? I don't know, but He's coming.
Yeah.
Can you tell me the date? No, but He's coming. He's coming.
Amen.
Amen. Stir up the gift that is in thee.
Yeah.
Let's get after it. Amen. Because He's coming. Now, I see the coming in verse 17 through 20, but I see the comment in verse 21 through 22. The comment here. Now, some commentators believe that Martha was rebuking the Lord here with her comment in verse 21, where she said, you know, Lord, if you've been here, my brother had not died. I personally don't think that's the case. I think maybe remorse rather than rebuke was the incentive of Martha's comment of the Lord, if I'd been here. She knew that no one else ever died in the presence of Jesus, and that His being there would have prevented Lazarus' death. So we find in the midst of Martha pouring out her feelings here, the first spark of faith in our text concerning these disciples. Now, no doubt the Master did not miss the spark of her faith, nor will He miss it in your life or in my life. He wants faith from you. He wants faith from you. Everything that God does, I believe, is to the intent that we might believe. Come back to verse number 15 in just this passage. This will work for us. And look at verse 15 in chapter 11. Jesus says, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." Watch this. "To the intent you may" what?
"Believe."
See that? Everything. Now, I can't explain this, but everything that He does is to the intent that we might believe. That's what He wants out of us. Jesus was asked once on one occasion. If you remember, His disciples came to Him, and this is probably one of the questions, you know, you get into this thing and you start serving God. And the disciples came and they said, "What shall we do that we might work the works?" Plural. We want to work the works. Lord, there's a lot of works to be done. What might we do that we might work the works of God? You know, and Jesus stood up and said, "Well, start a bus ministry, you know, and go down to the jails and, you know, go plant a church over here somewhere." And, you know, and did He say that?
No.
Now, I'm not against any of those things, just as long as He told you to do it. But if He didn't tell you to do it, can I say this? Don't waste your time.
That's right.
You know, when we had the church up in Juniper Canyon, I was like, you know, you get nervous sitting around and no one's doing nothing. So we begin to create activity.
Right.
Instead of trying to figure out what God's saying to us and doing it, you know, we begin to... Chris was right. There is a waiting period, young man.
Sure.
Amen. But there also is a time to get up and go, right? But I remember being up there in the church and nothing's going on. So the guys would come to me and, "We need to start a prison ministry." And I'd be like, "Okay, well, let's start a prison ministry." So I'd make the phone calls. We'd get down and go into prison. First time I'd go in there, there'd be about 12 of us, you know, and a month later, I'm doing it by myself.
Right.
Thank you, but I wasn't looking for nothing else. I was good with what I had.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to say here, what might we do that we might work the works of God? Here's what Jesus said. This is the work of God, that ye believe. That ye believe on Him whom the Father has sent. That's the work of God.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, it entails a whole lot of other things, but the work is singular. Now look, Martha's faith goes even further in this comment in verse 22. She says this in verse 22, but she said, you know, verse 21, here's a little spark of faith. "Lord, if Thou had been here, my brother had not died." There's a little spark. But verse 22, it goes a little farther. "But I know something here, Lord. That even though this situation, this is how it is, that even now, no matter what's going on, whatsoever thou will ask of God, God will give it thee." Can you see that right there? So Martha's faith, regarding the circumstances are not good, it climbed even farther in this sorrowful situation. She knew that somehow, she knew that some way Jesus could still help her. Somehow He could make things right in the midst of all this, even though she could not see how herself. She's got sort of this general faith. Now listen, it's a genuine faith, right? But it's sort of a general faith. Now listen, Jesus didn't ask, "Believest thou?" Down there in the question, what number is that in? 26. He didn't say, "Believest thou," like, you know, do you believe in a general way? Does He say that? He said, "Believest thou what?" Do you believe in the specific thing that I'm saying to you, Mark? Now let me ask you something here tonight, or this morning before going farther. Jesus is asking her, "Do you have faith in this particular, precise thing that's going on in your life right now? In this specific thing that's going on right now?" You know, sometimes it's something He said to us. I believe with all my heart, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, there's not a man, there's not a woman, there's not a child in here, there's not young men in here to where God is not speaking to us, and He's saying things to us, and He's giving us promises, or He's giving us direction in His Word. And we sit there and we wrestle, you know, is that me? You ever do that? Or is that God speaking to me? You know what I mean? Is this my voice, or is this God's? Because you got to watch out for your voice.
Right.
I found out, you know, Paul said there's many voices. There's the voices of others. And I've learned to pretty much shut them out, amen. But God will still use others. But then your voice can get in the way sometimes.
Man.
But we're looking for what the voice of God has to say. And I'm saying that sometimes God will say things to you. And I believe He's saying things to you. I believe He's saying things to these young men. I think He's saying things to everybody in here. Believest thou? Not generally. Oh yeah, I believe God. But do you believe this?
Amen.
What He's saying to you? I don't know what it might be. You know, that's why some people struggle with their salvation. I think they're saved, but they just don't believe this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They've done it, amen, and they're probably saved, but they don't believe for sure this. Amen. Believest thou this? I'm going to tell you, some of you young men here, if God's calling you to preach, you better believe this. Because there'll come some times when you're out there all by yourself, and amen, and the voices from everybody else will say, you're worthless.
You're Right.
And your own voice will chime in and say, boy, they got that right. And then devil will be right there to tell them. But, you know, I'm saying you're going to struggle with that. But if you got, if the Lord spoke to you and given you a promise or given you a call, you better believe this. Because there's been times that's the only thing that kept me where I needed to go. I'd have to raise my hand and say, there's one problem, devil. There's one problem, brethren. There's only one problem, self. I cannot go back. Because God said this to me. And I will die on that hill because He said this. You can all go to hell, but I'm going to believe this. Is that too rough? I got a little sign in my office. I think April gave it to me or Connie, I'm not sure, but it says, you may all go to hell, but I'll go to Texas. I'm not sure if that was inspired by Davy Crockett, but it's on my wall. Believest thou this? What's He saying to you? You better have some specific faith in this thing. I'm talking about you better start trusting the voice of God. Believest thou this? Sometimes it's something He said to us. Sometimes I was listening to Kathleen singing right there and all y'all singing. You know, can I get a witness here? Sometimes it's all upside down.
Right.
I mean, you thought it was going to be this, you know, and now we're over here and this is going on and everything's upside down. And there's nothing to believe in but Him. Believest thou this?
Yes.
That He, you can be confident He, which hath begun a good work in you, and He'll perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Believest thou this? I'm just saying that's the question here. You see, it's as if Martha sees the Lord here. I know she looks at the Lord and she knows He's an extraordinary prophet. She believes He's more than just an average man. He's special. I mean, but maybe in her mind, you know, she's thinking he could command a cure, but he couldn't do it by himself. He's going to have to get it, the Father, ask permission of the Father to do it. Maybe she sees Him like the prophet Elisha in the case of the dead widow's son of Zarephath. That He's, you know, Lord, I know you can do things, amen, but maybe she thought He's going to have to ask God to give it Himself. Like, she's not really quite sure, you know what I mean, like, who He is. I mean, she makes a profession here. I believe with all my heart, you know, but she's just not quite sure. Can you see that in there? I mean, He's telling her some specific things. Maybe I can make this a little clearer. Now, I believe the Lord likes even this general type of faith. Don't get me wrong. He loves faith, even if it's just a grain of mustard seed. He loves faith. God loves faith. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I mean, everybody, they had a good report through faith. You ain't going to give it any other way. You're not going to give it any other way. But He doesn't want our faith to just stop generally, like maybe hers is here, to just stay in this general sense. But He wants it to grow and become greater than all the herbs and shooting out branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow thereof. That's what He wants our faith to do. She's got a grain of it here, but He wants more, Justin. He wants more. So we see her comment by Martha, and then we see the comfort in verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Christ is comforting her here. You know Christ is in the comforting business. You know, He wants to cheer you up. He wants to calm you down. He loves to console you. He loves to comfort. So much so, He said a comforter. Amen. That we may have fellowship and communion with the Holy Ghost of God, the comforter. Now, I think Jesus responding to Martha's faith here is however small it might be. But notice, He didn't berate her faith, right? He didn't say, woman, you're here. I'm here. Amen. And He didn't say, why in the world aren't you here? We've got to be careful with that sometimes. I'm glad anybody's got any little faith. I'm happy for any little faith. Because then you got something to work with. Somebody got no faith? I don't know what you're going to do. But now watch Him here. He doesn't berate her for her faith. I don't know if you can see the picture yet, but He's trying to get her here. He's trying to get her to believe in this. Now, notice how the Lord begins with a broad general statement about the resurrection of her brother. I think the Lord loves to draw out faith by degrees in us, gradually. He'll draw our faith out little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Specific faith. Christ is trying to comfort Martha here concerning her brother, and I see that it's faith that frees her from her despair, from her distress, from her depression in this certain situation. Faith in Christ is always going to be your greatest comfort in hard conditions. It's always going to be your greatest comfort in hard conditions. The reason Martha or ourselves become overwhelmed, now listen to me, it's because we do not know or understand enough of who the Master is or what He can do. We don't understand who we're really dealing with here. We don't. We believe Him a little, but where's the Christian this morning that believes Him a lot? Where's that one at? Where's she at this morning? Where's he at this morning? It can be anybody in here. Where's that one right here this morning? Had she known him in his fullness, her sorrow would have been at an end right away. Now, lest we be too hard on Martha, I want to bring out the fourth thing I find in our text, and I find the confidence. She does have some confidence here in verse number 24. Look at it. Look what she says here. Martha saith unto him, I know. Look at this. Now watch this. I know he shall rise again in the what? The resurrection at the last day. Martha really does show remarkable confidence in the Lord here when you look at the whole text. Just a couple thoughts here. She shows her confidence in the Lord's power. In verse 21, she said, Lord, if you'd been here, nothing would have happened. I say, praise God for folks that have confidence in the Lord's power. You ought to have confidence in His power. He is able, brother. He is able, sister, to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Man, I've been praying that one a lot lately. He's got power. I mean, even the youth shall faint and they become weary and everyone else is going to go down. But amen, they that trust in the Lord, amen, are going to mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint because the Lord giveth power, amen, unto the faint. Amen. Are you faint this morning? There's power coming. Amen. You got troubles this morning? There's power coming. Keep trusting in Him. Keep believing in Him. Believest thou this? Well, I haven't seen it yet. Well, why are you walking by sight? I thought we were supposed to walk by faith.
Yes. Yes.
You know, your sight lies to you.
Every time, yeah.
Brother Martin, if you're not careful, amen. We went up there with Brother Martin's here. He's going to present tonight. He's a missionary to the Blackfeet Indian. We went up there when I was with him. We drove up into the Indian country and we rented what I would call a a grange hall is what I call a grange hall. They're all over the Northwest, and a lot of people have church in them. And we knocked doors and had a little service there, and none of the Indians came except Wilson Calvin, who we had there to preach. Yeah. And it'd be real easy, amen, to go up there and do something like that and not see what you want to see, and start to doubt. Yeah. But I'm trying to tell you, if the Lord has got a call on your life, amen, I don't care what you see. Believest thou this? Brother, there's power in believing. She had confidence in His power. She had confidence in His petition. Verse 22. She says, I know right now, Lord, if you'll ask God, if you'll petition God, she goes, I know something will get done. She's got, amen. I don't know about you, but I'll talk to the Lord all the time. I mean, Lord, could you ask the Father? I mean, I've asked Him myself, but could you get in there, man? Lord, I think you'd get more done than me. I mean, could you talk to the Father a little bit, Lord? I mean, she had confidence in His petition of talking to the Father. She had confidence in His preservation. In verse 24, she says, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She goes, I know He's preserved. You see that? She's got some confidence here. She even shows her confidence in His person in verse 27. She says in verse 20, she saith unto Him, Yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, amen, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's a pretty good confidence. I mean, that's the same thing Peter said. And we always shout, man, Peter, what great confidence he had in God. Man, she did the same thing right here. I need to go look at that. Chronologically, she might have made it first. But she had some confidence here. She had a fixed and settled faith on Him. She's saying, I believe, Lord, and I really do believe in You. And I'm saying that Martha is not usually given enough credit here. She said she had some incredible confidence in Christ. But then, lastly, after you see this coming and the comment and the comfort and the confidence, we also get to where we're going here. We see the Christ in verse 25 through 26. Now look at this. Even though Martha had showed great confidence in Christ, I notice she sort of sidestepped the issue of whether she believed in the Lord's claim to have mastery over death itself, His claim to be the resurrection, not just believe in the resurrection. Look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, right? Now watch this. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It's what Jesus was. It's not what he does. It's not what he teaches. Jesus was telling Martha, he wasn't saying to Martha, hey Martha, I'm going to do something. Amen? So that's how we get it. Well, Lord, are you going to do something? I believe in you're going to do something. Don't worry about him. Just believe in him. He wasn't saying, I want to do something. He's saying, I am something. Can you see that there? He sort of sidestepped the fact. She sort of sidestepped the fact that Jesus said he was just in. He's not saying I'm just involved with life, but he was life itself. He could give it out wherever he pleased. He was life's spring. He's life's source here. I mean, it's a burning bush in the book of Exodus when Moses said unto God, who shall I tell the children of Israel it is that sent me? God said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. And no doubt Jesus uses of the word here, I am, was meant to give Martha a greater glimpse. Like Martha, I don't think we get it sometimes. No doubt like Martha, our comprehension of Christ and our consideration of Christ, even our conviction of him is cut a little too short than where it ought to be. I'm talking about a specific faith. I'm talking about the Christ here. Martha's mistakes are often our mistakes. When Jesus gives her a promise in verse 23, look at this. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall what? So rather than her, now listen to me. Has God ever given you some promises? Brother, believe in them things. I read my Bible looking for them, man. If I see one that I even think has my name on it, I'll flip it over, endorse it, and put it in the bank of faith. Amen. You say, why? I want to be rich in faith. You do what you want to do, amen. I don't know, and I'm not saying I'm the best at it. I'm a lot like Peter. I'll be on the mountaintop one day, and I'll be the doubting Thomas the next. I got multiple personalities.
Me too, bro.
But I mean, if I even think that's a promise, when I'm reading the Bible, I'm saying, Lord, is that for me?
Yeah.
Lord, I'll take that one.
Yeah.
But you know how it is sometimes. Sometimes you know he's giving you a promise. I don't know, this sounds weird to me, amen, but Brother Martin, sometimes when I'm reading my Bible, it's just black and white, and then all of a sudden it's like there's a light on a verse. You ever get that? Call me crazy. I know I did a lot of dope before I got saved. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Could be a flashback. But you believe that, and I'll go ahead and believe it. Oh. Lord, I think there's some light on that one.
Yeah.
I think that one's got my name on it right there, Lord.
Right. Yeah.
I can stand on that one. I can't stand on nothing, but why don't you stand on that word of God?
Amen.
You with me?
Right.
Yes. You ever get a verse like that? Some of you in here this morning, that's right where you are. God's dealing with you on something. He's spoken it to you this way. He said it this way. Man, Chris had it right this morning. He's worked through personal things in your life. Amen. I've had so many times, amen, Brother Chris, where I've been, I know people don't think God can speak without a King James Bible right in front of you, but I'm telling you, he can.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm not taking anything away from that. I know, that word is magnified above that. But, sometimes that is talking about Jesus himself, too. And he's not bound to a book. Man, I lost some independent Baptist right there, didn't I? He's saying some things to some people in here right now. This may just be another confirmation. Believest thou this? This. I watched Truett come here with his daughter for a year. I've talked to Truett about his daughter, I'm not really sure, and I know he's praying for her. Want her to get saved. Believest thou this? I walked down here not too long ago and kneel on her knees, and one of the ladies come deal with her, and Brother Truett came right behind her, just sat there with his head up in the air, eyes open. I love it. Eyes open. No, but you couldn't have moved him with a bomb, amen. He was just sitting there like this, looking up in the eye and just praying or whatever he was doing. Amen. I just got a feeling somewhere in there, Brother Truett, you just believe this, that God can save my daughter.
Amen.
It's funny what happens when you believe this.
Yes.
This. Believest thou this?
Amen.
That's the question this morning. Martha, Jesus gives her a promise in verse 23. Now watch this. Rather embracing this promise, he says he's going to rise again. So rather embracing this promise, joyfully and expectantly receiving it. Now listen, here I know some people believe there was independent Baptist clear back here because John started the independent Baptist movement. And I'm just joking, y'all. Don't, you know what I mean? I don't believe that, amen. But I'm just, I have run into those fellas. But anyway, I'm noticing right here that when, it makes me wonder though when I look at this, because the Lord gives her a promise in verse 23. Jesus said to her, here's the promise. Thy brother shall rise again, amen. Just see that? Here's the promise. Has He given you a promise? He gives her a promise in verse 23, Nathan, and here's what she does with it. She takes it and she turns it into a theological. She doesn't just take the promise. She turns it into a theological principle in verse 24. Right. What I mean by that, Jesus didn't even mention the resurrection.
Right.
So look here in verse 24. Oh, yes, sir, I know. I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection the last day. Why is He getting all theological, Martha?
Right.
What happened? We're not trying to rightly divide the Word of God here. I just gave you a promise. Your brother's going to rise.
Yeah.
And instead of just taking that in and believing, well, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for a word. Thank you for some light on something. Amen. I'm not even going to overthink it, Lord.
Because
if you start overthinking it, you'll mine away its power.
Right.
So He says, here's the promise. And now she's like, you know, bringing up the resurrection and the, you know, the last. She had to be an independent Baptist. Amen. I'm afraid this is the mindset of too many of us. God speaks to us in a sermon. Or He speaks to us in a song. And we start trying to rightly divide the word of truth and put everything in its proper dispensation. We try to study out the situation rather than receive the power that comes from that promise. This thing is not a study, it's a Savior.
Amen. Right.
This thing is not a bunch of precepts, it's a person.
Yep.
It's about I am. And boy, He am a lot of things.
Yep.
I mean, He is right now a lot of things. And sometimes you need to put away all your learning. I'm not telling you to be an idiot. Don't get me wrong. Amen. I'm not saying, amen, spirituality is just being dumb. I'm not saying that at all. But sometimes you need to put away all your learning and just listen to the Lord and what He's saying to you in a verse. Believest thou this? I had a good friend of mine when I got saved in Portland, Oregon. I know it's hard to believe, but there are saved people in Portland, Oregon. I got saved in Portland, Oregon. I had a good friend there. Good friend, man. We used to go street preaching all the time. And man, but his view of the Bible was something else. And he said to me one day, you know, where you've been reading your Bible? I said, man, I've been living out of Psalms 23. He said, yeah. He goes, can you quote it to me? I said, yeah, man, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. And he stops me right there and goes, man, I love that verse. He goes, you understand that's talking about the millennial kingdom? That David's going to come in 1,000 million years. I'm just looking at him like this. And when he got done, I was like, man, I never saw that in there. I don't even want to see all that in there.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to concentrate. The Lord, He's my shepherd.
Yeah.
And you know what? I shall not want. I don't want all your theology. I don't want your thoughts. I don't want you to take the mind, the power away what's in there. I just mean the Lord, my shepherd, and I shall not want. And one time I fasted for 10 days, amen. You trying to brag on yourself? No, I didn't get nothing out of it except I was hungry. I had a big plan. I was going to read my whole library, but I didn't want to read nothing because I was starving to death, amen. But I did find this out. There's power in the Word of God. Because every time I got hungry, I would just say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that hunger would go away. Because man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out. It's my necessary food. And so that Word of God to speak to me, for me to live out of that Word of God and those promises He gave to me. Because sometimes with what I see ain't lined up with what He said. But I'm going to go with what He said over what I see every time.
Right.
Yeah.
Believest thou?
Yes.
What's your this? What's your this? If you're not careful, all this other stuff will prevent the power of the other in our lives. Another mistake that Martha here was that she was looking too far into the future. Chris, she's looking at a future salvation, or a future resurrection, if you will. But again, Jesus is speaking of the present.
That's right.
This ain't something He's going to do later. Brian, He's going to do it right now.
Yeah.
Sometimes He's going to do some things right now.
Yes,
I talked to a couple guys, amen, Brother Martin, got some calls on their life, and they're saying, well, I'm just not ready. I'm like, who is? Who was ever ready?
Right, right.
Who was ever ready? I mean, pastor, remember? I mean, first time I got put in a position to pastor, was I ready? No. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can't base it on that. Now, I understand. I'm not saying you get saved today and pastor tomorrow. That's not, no, sir. Please don't do that. Don't even do that if Jesus told you to. I'm not sure. You know, I lost you on that one, but, you know, I'm trying to help some people out, you know, because a young pastor will wreck everything.
There's another Jesus.
Yeah. He said there is another Jesus.
Right.
I'm just saying, for the most part, God don't do that. But I'm just saying here, I look at this. She's looking so far in the future, Josh. She's thinking, yeah, Lord, I see what you're saying. You're giving me that promise. And I see that maybe one day that'll happen. But again, he's speaking to her in the present. Let me ask you a question. Why do we always look at what God can do or what God will do as being far off into the future? I get that sometimes that it is. But I'm just saying here, listen, he is present tense the resurrection. He is present tense the life. He is present tense the way. He is present tense the good shepherd.
Yeah.
He is the resurrection. He's something he's going to be. And you know what? Faith what? Is. Now. Faith is. Hebrews chapter 11.
Right.
Now. It is. I know that's a country way of looking at it, but now it is. You don't have to wait for faith in your life to clear off in the future. Well, you know, I got to get through all these studies and stuff. I'm all for that, amen, but I'm just saying now.
Amen.
Now faith is. He is right here. He's saying, I am. It is. This ain't something nobody's got to wait for. Now is the time.
Yeah.
Some of you in here, you're thinking, well, I'm going to get saved one of these days. I just need to learn a little more. No, you don't need to learn anymore. You need to believe a little more. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Why are you holding back? Amen. You better come and call on Christ and call on Him and ask Him to save you. Amen. Now. You better believe in Him now because nobody knows about tomorrow.
Right. Amen.
Believe us now.
Yes.
You see, I'm pretty sure He's going to... You know, God's been in the saving mood lately.
Yes.
Man, people are getting saved around here.
Right.
I leave town, watch Brian on Sunday. People got saved Sunday morning.
Right.
I'm up in Canada. So people got saved in Canada throughout the week. Some young men got called.
Amen.
Amen. Believe us now.
Yes.
There's somebody here this morning. I guarantee somebody here this morning. You're lost. You know you're lost. And you're like trying to figure all this out and reason it all out. I don't have to tell how it works, Brother Randy. We know this. You just got to come. Amen. You need to be saved. You know why? Because you're a sinner. Is that plain enough?
Yeah.
You're a loser.
Yeah.
Just like me.
Yes.
I guarantee I'm a bigger one than you are. I'm with Paul. I'm the chief of sinners. Amen. And I came and called upon the name of the Lord, and He saved me.
Amen.
Amen. But I had to come and call. I had to believe in Him enough that He could save. And the night I came, I called on Him, and I believe this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's somebody here this morning just like that.
You're right.
Well, you know, I just need to learn a little more. You're going to learn your way right to hell.
You're right.
Specific faith. Some things don't have time to wait. I'm talking about the specific faith. Here's another mistake of Martha that we often make ourselves. She's thinking of what concerned the populace instead of what concerned her personally. Notice verse 23, Jesus said, "Thy brother," but she lumps Lazarus in with everybody in the world in verse 24. Can you see that? He says, "Thy brother's personal promise to her." And she says, "Yeah, I know he'll be there with everybody else later in that whole populace of things." Why do we not read and hear the promises of God and we bleed on them for other people, but we don't believe on them for ourselves? We believe on these promises for the populace, but not personally in our own lives. Notice it, "believest thou." I like that King James Bible word. That's a personal you. "Believest thou?"
Yeah.
What? This? It's when we take promises personally. That's when we find the power that's in them. You know, 2 Peter 1:4 says this, "Whereby are given unto us," not just others, every one of us. God comes and gives us these promises. They are given to us. They're like a gift. "Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises." Why are they exceeding great and precious promises, Brother Brad? Here's why. Because it says that by these, Speaking of those promises, Chris, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If I'm reading that right, when God gives us a promise, Miss Marcia, it's like He hands these promises out like a gift. And if you quit looking at yourself and everything else and say, well, I don't deserve that. Of course you don't. Why are you thinking that at all? You're concentrated on you, not the promise. He hands out these precious promises. And if you'll be like, Lord, that's for me. And He's like, believest thou? And you reach out there and you grab that promise, Brother Lewis, and somehow you bring that thing into your heart and life. It says, by these promises, you're partakers of the divine nature. We think it's by putting on a suit, reading King James Bible, being an independent Baptist. Nothing wrong with those things. But we think it's because, well, if we do right. No, man. He hands these promises. Believest thou this? I don't know what's going on in here, Brother Lewis. I notice you ain't in the balcony anymore. You're a little closer to the front. I don't know what God's saying to you, but you better believe it, brother.
Amen.
Believe it. Son, you're encouraging my heart.
Yeah.
I don't know what He's saying to people in here, but do you believe it? Man, we can... Man, I gotta quit. We can... There's no telling what we can do in here. God comes to Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? He said, I'm going to destroy the city. And Abraham starts bargaining with God. And he says, Lord, He said, will you destroy it for 50 righteous people? And He said, for 50 righteous, I won't destroy it. And then you know how He does. He goes down 40, 30 all the way. Well, I'm just saying this morning, I'm just thinking we got more than 50 righteous people in here. I'm talking about saved people by the grace of God. I'm not talking about your own righteousness. If that's how you think, we don't need you. You need to get saved.
Amen.
But if we got some righteous people in here, some just, we got 50 of them in here today. I see more than 50, preacher.
Sure.
I mean, I think we got enough people in here to turn Houston upside down.
Yes.
To save Houston.
Yes.
Believest thou?
Yes.
The Savior's hope for us is that we would go higher in our belief for Him. That we simply wouldn't just be touching the hem of the garment, brother, but we'd sit down with Him in heavenly places. Do it without any misgivings about our right to be there. We're there because of His grace. Plain and simple. Don't just believe it about other people. Believe it personally. I'm talking about specific faith. Faith. Believest thou this? What has God said to thou? What's He saying to you? Even if you're like, I've been there. Amen. I've been there. I've been, Lord. I remember for a while, Lord, You called me to preach. Lord, You called me to preach. And I'll never forget, Preacher Dan, when You came up there and preached that Amos. Man, God knows how to put the right man and the right message in the right place. A Texan in Portland, Oregon. Go figure. He did not fit up there. I'll never forget, I had to take him to the bookstore one day. Portland, downtown Portland's crowded, you know. I think Austin got their thing from them, Brian. You might know it. Portland is Keep Portland Weird. Now Austin's got that one, right? So now you know which way Austin's going.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget, I came out of the book, Preacher Dan said, I'm done at the bookstore. I said, okay, I'll come pick you up. And I'm coming down Burnside, and there's multitudes of people down there. But there was only one named man with a cowboy hat on, cowboy boots,
yeah,
sitting on the corner going like this. Yeah. There he is, Preacher Dan. But I'll never forget, amen, God at the right time, bringing the right preacher to the right place. And I've been sitting there, Lord, are you calling me to preach? Are you telling me to preach? Lord, I need something from You. I need a word from You. And He come up there and He preached a whole message on preaching. And I crawled to that altar. I said, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe what? This. I think You're calling me to preach. Amen. And Lord, should I do it? He said, do it. What do you believe this morning? Huh? Believest thou this? What has God said to thou that you should believe? What is your this? This is a question that concerns every one of us in here. This is a question that comes very close to all of Christ's disciples. Christ will not be content with generalities.
That's right.
He wants to get specific.
Yes.
Christ is not satisfied with comprehension of truth. He wants confidence in truth personally. I mean, I heard a young preacher ask Pastor Farley one time. I was sitting up in the Northwest up there. I won't say where I was at. And this young man sat down. Brother Farley was at the table, and a bunch of preachers were sitting around there. And this young preacher was sitting there looking at Brother Farley. And finally, he just interrupted him, and he said, "I got to ask you a question." He said, "What's the difference between when you preach and when I preach?" And I was sitting at the table going, "Oh boy." I got my phone out though, because I'm like, this will be good right here. Here's what Brother Danny said. Listen to me, I'm done. Here's what Brother Danny says as we get ready for invitation. Here's what he said. He looked down for a minute. "You preachers, listen to me." And he looked back up at that young boy, and here's what he said. He said, "Well, son," he said, "here's the difference between your preaching and my preaching." Because the guy had a good outline. Here's what Brother Danny said. "I actually believe God's going to do something when I preach. I don't hope He is."
Yeah.
That's not presumptuous. That is a man that has been called by God, who has seen God work. He knows the power in preaching. He knows the God who he's preaching and the Word who he's preaching. So with that confidence, he says what he said. "Young man, do you believe thou this?" "Young ladies, do you believe thou this, that he can do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think in your life?" This. What's he speaking to you about, sir? What's he speaking to you about, man? You believe it? Anybody in here this morning, I'll say this, get out the way. If you're here and you're lost, you know you're not saved, you can believe this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you'll come and call on Him this morning, here's what you can believe. He'll save you. If you'll just take Him, He'll take you. You can take that one to the bank. So Father, I pray You'd speak and move in these situations here this morning. Lord, thank You for faith that You give to us, and that You try to grow in us. And I pray we'd be a church and Christians full of faith, Lord. So much faith, Lord, that others can land in our branches and get shadow from it in their lives. Lord, that's really been the history of Shady Acres, so I pray You just move it forward, Lord, to the next generations, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand and turn to hymn number 150 in your soul, starting hymn number 150 in your soul, starting hymn. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His words for me shall be. I need no
come to God. You need to come with God. You must believe that He is, and He's a faithful Lord. Diligently seek Him this morning.
Enough for me that Jesus stays. This ends my fear and now.
Maybe this morning you say, "Lord, I believe, but I pray You help my unbelief." That's a fair prayer. Won't you come this morning, sir? Won't you come this morning, ma'am? If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Who will take Him this morning? Come while there's time. Come while there's time.
My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word. I need no other argument. I need
more verse while people are praying.
My faith has found a resting place.
Got a promise, a call. Believe this. God's calling us without repentance. Believe this. Bill and Veronica are fixing to head to Germany in the morning. Believe this. Believe in that call. Because it's going to seem sometimes like, what are we doing? I'll tell you what we're doing. We're trusting God. That's what we're doing. And I'd rather sink trusting God. I'm with Pastor Farley. I talked to God one time about being saved. He kept arguing with me that, you know, belief saves, it can't save. And I finally, Brother Mark, I just looked at him and I said, well, I guess I'm going to go to hell trusting God. I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to believe Him. That's not going to happen though, is it? I appreciate your teaching this morning. We'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock for evening services. Pastor, you got anything? Brother Brian? Any announcements or anything? All right. Father, pray you bless the thought this morning. God, help us to be a people of belief and confidence, not in our own minds, but Lord, in what you have said to us. So I pray you'd speak, and I pray we'd believe, and I pray we'd stir. Get something to do before you come back. Love you, and we pray it all in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Thanks for being here.